CBD on a football Friday. Not much to talk about. It's been kind of boring around
here. Crazy week this has been. Seriously, I mean, you almost wish it was the bye week because the game has not been getting enough attention.
It's been from a talk radio standpoint, it's an embarrassment of riches. Now that'll play real well with people who are still, you know, swearing and yelling and calling us and others every name in the book. And that's fine. Keep it up. It's the passion. I love it. This is what I signed up for, too. But it does make for good radio. And one guy who I know has some veteran perspective.
Remember last week we were just yelling at each other about the merits of Joe Flacco and if he was a top 10 quarterback or not? Yeah. And now Trent Richardson's gone. Brandon Whedon's not the starting quarterback anymore, and the Browns are 0-2.
And I'm still right about Joe Flacco. Joe. Speaking of Joe's, how's this for transition? Right, good transition.
Yeah, good. Here we go.
Good segue.
Segue.
Joe Thomas. Segue. Joe Thomas, the veteran, six-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle of the Browns. Try to put what's gone on in perspective. Sat down a little bit with our own Jameer Howerton. Take it away, Jameer.
Thanks, Vic. Joe, with the week of preparing through all the adversity that the team has faced, how was this week of practice?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I think we did a great job coming out, putting all those distractions aside, and coming out and having a great week of practice. I think guys are really looking like we're ready to go in and play really well this weekend.
How did you, being one of the leaders on the team and one of the captains, just keep the troops rallied together and keep them focused on the task at hand?
Well, you hit it right there. It's all about keeping the task at hand, which is playing the Minnesota Vikings first and foremost. And we've got so much work to do during the week. We've got so much preparation to do out on the field practicing, in the meeting room studying, that there's not really a lot of time to worry about outside things. So having it happen in the middle of a week really was actually a good thing, because it kind of distracted you from things that were happening upstairs and let you just focus on the game.
Moving forward to this week of practice, how did quarterback Brian Hoyer do commanding the offense?
Yeah, he did a really good job. I mean, he's a natural leader out there. He's a guy that it seems like he's been in the system a long time, and I think he's going to do a great job for us out there this weekend.
And just overall, do you feel a sense of urgency within this locker room as you guys head into week three to face the Minnesota Vikings?
I definitely think so. I think this is a big week for us. I think if we can go up there and get a win, it could be huge for us going forward in the season.
Joe, thank you for your time, and good luck to you Sunday.
Thank you.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, Jameer, thank you very much. Jameer Howerton with Joe Thomas. And always good to get the perspective of the old pro, you know, when he can break things down.
And clearly Joe Thomas at this point has been around and been through enough that he didn't even seem phased, really. He said, listen, things happen. If Trent Richardson had gotten hurt, you're going with the same team that it would have been had he not been traded. So I think they know they have to go out there. You still have to win games. People get hurt all the time in the NFL. The Atlanta Falcons will be playing without Steven Jackson this week. The Green Bay Packers are playing without Eddie Lacy this week. So it happens in the National Football League, and you have to adjust and you have to move on. And we talked about it at the beginning of the season. This still is a winnable game for the Cleveland Browns, because defensively they match up well with the strengths of the Minnesota Vikings. And really, this could be one of those games where the first team to 17 points can walk out with a victory.
0-2 Vikings, for the record. Mike in Worcester with us now. Hey, Mike. Mike,
Hello?
What do you got?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, I'm just wondering, you know, I'm watching these first two games, and, you know, the trade notwithstanding, I'm wondering when the new regime decided that they were going to incorporate and, you know, realize that Brandon Whedon's number is the same as Derek Anderson's.
Number Where is the same as
number three.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what's that have to do with anything?
Well, I don't know. Good observation.
When they were going to incorporate the Pat Shurmur offense with Derek Anderson at quarterback, because that's the way it looked first 2 weeks. I'm sorry.
I see what he's saying. He's saying the offense didn't look down the field and attacking as it was.
Yeah, I got an answer. Mike, I actually have an answer for that. Now I'm following you, and I apologize for being slow in the uptake. Generally, what has been happening with Brandon Whedon is opponents, if you watch this on tape, opponents are dropping back into coverage more so than I think we see them do against some other quarterbacks. But if you watch closely and you see the all-22 view especially, which gives you that perspective, teams are daring him to try to throw even underneath, because they know that is where he struggles the most. They're taking away the deeper routes that he has the physical, the strength of the arm to take and do, and challenging him to go underneath. And what happens is, more times than not, there's a hesitation on his part. And I think that's where a lot of his problems have occurred. Phil in Brecksville is with us now. Hey, Phil.
Oh,
here's the funny part about this. This shouldn't mean as much as it does, but I'll tell you, it does mean a lot. My wife looks at me and just laughs at me this whole week. Just a couple points, and then I'll listen. You know, the thing that concerned me the most before this first two games was this sense of entitlement. And you know, before all this hit the ground, I really was wondering where that was and when someone was going to take the bull by the horns and treat these athletes, show these athletes that they need to be competitive, that their job is their job, and that competition will make them better. I think that this has done that for me. So I don't, you know, I'm such a sap. I think they're going to win every week. But I'm telling you, this week, you know, if I was Leslie Frazier, I would be really worried about this game, because you have no idea, you know, if they're going to come out totally flat or they're going to come out totally up. The last thing I'll say about Brian Hoyer is I watched a lot of preseason practices. I never saw Brandon Weeden talk to one other player. For Joe Thomas to say that he's a natural leader, that's the best endorsement that I've heard all year. So I'm out, guys.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. That's interesting. You know, I think Brian Hoyer is brought here, I think, for a lot of the intangible things that he can do in terms of his mental approach to the game, in terms of problem. I'm sure he's a great teammate. I heard Joe Thomas call him a good natural leader. And I think he makes up for his lack of perhaps physical skill or arm strength with a lot of those intangibles. And that's what we're going to see this week. And I think this is a winnable game. It was one of the games at the beginning of the season I circled as a winnable game. I think that the defense matches up well with what they want to do. Speaking of the Vikings offensively, the run defense has been exceptional. They don't really have a lot of threats in the receiving game right now. So the Browns can do that. They're going to have to score the ball. Listen, Minnesota's 0-2 as well. Minnesota gave up over 30 points in week number two to Chicago. In week one, they gave up a lot of points to the Detroit Lions as well. So this is a team that's struggling, and I think the Browns do have an opportunity this week to come out and get a win. They're going to have to play smart football. They're going to have to take care of the football.
It's going to be flawless. I mean, he's got to be – he's really – Brian Hoyer would have to play virtually the perfect game. I said this about Brandon Weeden in one of the five keys, and I'll have five keys posted on clevelandbrowns.com a little later today about this Vikings game. But he is perfect a game as he's capable of playing. And if this is about quick decisions and accurate decisions, because you can make quick decisions and screw up, but quick and accurate decisions, he has to be all that and more.
And he's got, and the players who receive these passes need to make plays. Somebody needs to make a spectacular play, turn a 10-yard slant into an 80-yard touchdown.
It's not catch and fall down time.
No.
Eric in Allentown, PA. Eric, what do you got?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, a little surprised by all the overreaction to this trade. I think it's great. How do you guys feel about everybody, you know, all the overreactions and stuff? How much do they watch the Browns, really?
Yeah, I think those who are really emotionally reacting to this, I think, are doing two things. They're doing what is typical of fans of a team that has been as bad as this one has been perpetually since 1999, its return to Cleveland, and I'm totally understanding
this.
They are attaching everything that's happened before to what is happening now. There's no separation, and they don't want to hear that you separate it. You could tell them it's different people with different mindsets, with different backgrounds, with different, and all they want to see is it's the same. If they're in this building here in Berea, they got to be the same people who will do the incompetent things that other incompetent people have done in the eyes of the public. So it's that, and it's manifested itself. It becomes kind of a tradition and in fashion. I call it a fashion to beat up on a team that's easy to beat up on. You comedians can make careers out of this, and you know, build up, and it's a cottage industry of how can we beat up and bash on this team, even if they are so-called fans and so-called love it. Part of loving it is hating it and showing that hatred with love in it. And part of the family, it's the person in that family member that you can just beat up on, the perpetual person who is maligned. And that's how this team has been treated. That's my biggest takeaway of being here in Cleveland, but I saw it in Buffalo with a longtime relationship with the Bills. It happens in other markets. It is what happens here. The other part of this is the third overall pick syndrome that comes with his label, and there's way overreaction to that. That he has to be great because he was picked third overall, has to be great. Therefore, you don't make this trade, and that's where a lot of people stand on it. So,
I agree.
I'm going to see you on
Monday.
Hopefully, travel safe this weekend.
We'll be back with a winner
here.
All right.
We've got Gerard Cherry coming up, and we'll wrap this Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily Up with Gerard and yours truly right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
had to touch it, but it's so fine.